Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM, channel 127. Welcome to Progress After Dark.
I'm John Fugelsang, here with you again in spite of overwhelming popular demand and a very angry letter co-signed by Jimmy Carter and Bono. Yet they let me back, and that's because I work with the most dangerous team in talk radio. The great Chris Hauselt is our boss. He runs this thing out of the South Carolina Bureau. The mighty Thea Harper is producing our show from just behind some glass. She and I join you tonight from high above Gotham in the Howard Stern Tower on the 278th floor. I hope you had a great day. We have a great show for you tonight. Max Burns will be with us. Comedian Rhonda Hansom is with us as well. And I hope you had a good time with the big eclipse today. We're going to talk about that this weekend. Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal Save the World comedy tour. I think that's the name of the current version. Every year they add more words to it. We're coming this weekend to Minneapolis, to the legendary Pantages Theater, where we have played before. Really thrilled to finally be coming back. We have not played Minneapolis in 7 years. It's way overdue. Come on down and see us. There's still some tickets available. I think the meet and greet sold out, but there's still plenty of seats, I think, in the balcony section. So we'd love to see you guys. Also, let me just give a plug. The comedian Adam Sank comes and joins us all the time. He has a one-man show called Bad Dates. It's a one-man show about many men, where Adam more or less shares coming out horror stories, dating horror stories, graphic gay sex gone wrong horror stories. I finally got to see it over the weekend. And you know how it is when your friends have a new show or a new album or something, and you hope, oh God, I hope it's not terrible because I'm going because they're my friend, and I hope it's okay, and I don't have to lie. And it's great. Adam Sank's show, Bad Dates, highly recommended. I went with a group of women and they all loved it. I can't recommend it highly enough. His writing is as sharp as his performance. He is doing the show at the legendary Stonewall in Greenwich Village again this coming Wednesday. So go to his website, adamsank.com, if you're in the tri-state area. I wouldn't lie to you about this. Truly entertaining. So let's get to it, shall we? Where our number is 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. We'd love to talk with you tonight. Let's do a show. So Mercury's in retrograde. We had flooding in New York City last week, then an earthquake, now an eclipse. And why are all these locusts in my neighborhood? Did you have a good time with the eclipse? Were you anywhere near the path of the eclipse, and what did you see? It was pretty amazing here in New York. I live with a woman who's seen these before, and her dad was a science teacher, so it's no big deal to her. I was like a little kid. The only time I've ever been in the path of an eclipse in my whole life was one time when I was working in England, and we took a whole camera crew out to film it and talk to people on the side of the street in London. And it's London, so it's all clouds, and no one saw the damn eclipse. And all I got was footage of disappointed drunken Brits on their lunch break. So today, was pretty fun. I got my kid a bunch of official NASA don't blind yourself glasses, and we went up to the Great Hill in Central Park, a couple hundred people there. Here in New York City, we got like 90%. Thea, you were trapped on the subway, right? You saw none of it.
I missed all of it.
It was really amazing. And 90%, that's not nothing. What was crazy was my neighbor was with me, and she's a doctor, and she was saying, oh, it's not going to get dark here. My husband's on the path in Buffalo. It's going to get dark for him, not here. It got really dark, and then it got really cold. The temperature dropped over 10 degrees, and my kid came out in a light hoodie. He was freezing.
Yeah, I saw it get dark, but I was already on the train. I saw people pulling out their glasses and stuff, and I was heading to the subway. I wasn't invested.
Listen, you're young, you're beautiful, you have a life ahead of you. When you're old and decrepit and a desolate, burnt out shell of a man like me, I was like a little kid. I've never seen one. And finally, I'm at the right age where I care about these things. Wow. The partial shadow crossed into our country in southern Texas just after noontime. And then about an hour later, the totality minutes began. I've heard the phrase minutes of totality. So it sounds like the best sex your marriage is ever going to have. The minutes of totality. And then it went all the way up to Maine, Canada, and beyond. It was accessible to millions of people, which isn't usually the case. No solar eclipse will be visible from the contiguous U.S. again until 2044. So this was our last chance to really see one like this. There's going to be a partial lunar eclipse on September 18th and an annual solar eclipse on October 2nd. Nothing like this for another 20 years. So I hope you had a good time. If not, let me recommend social media. If you're really, really wanting to see blurry, out-of-focus pictures of an eclipse that doesn't look impressive at all, it's a good time to join Facebook because everyone's posting them. Today, however, was a bit more interesting in the political world. Now, back in 2016, Donald Trump picked Mike Pence to be his running mate to try to shore up his following with the Christian social conservatives, especially on abortion. In 2020, they stuck with him. And in 2024, they're still with him, even though he and Pence have publicly broken up, sort of. Really, the anti-abortion movement's greatest achievement was the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. But, as you guys know, that has become the greatest election liability to Republicans since the Bush and Trump presidencies. I mean, Florida is moving to a 6-week ban. A lot of conservatives want a 6-week ban. And think about that. The 6-week ban. Women in Florida are going to have much greater restrictions on their freedoms until at least November or longer if the ballot initiative fails, which could lead to a situation similar to Texas, where tens of thousands of women are unable to access abortion care if that's what they and their doctor decide they're going to do, because it's still legal and the Bible's not against it, but we'll get to that shortly. Now, 4 years ago, most Senate Republicans, 51 Senate Republicans, backed a 20-week ban. This is important for today's news. Just 4 years ago, 51 Senate Republicans said 20 weeks, that's it. In March, Donald Trump was hinting he would support a national 15-week ban. And he's been teasing all weekend a speech about abortion today that would help him win elections. Remember in 2022, 2 years ago, right after Roe was repealed, 10 Republicans signed on to Lindsey Graham's 15-week federal ban. And the thing about a 15-week federal ban on abortion, or a 20-week federal ban on abortion, or a 6-week federal ban on abortion, they're all federal bans on abortion. That's what they have in common. And Trump knows it. And Trump doesn't care about abortion. He cares about power. And today, he pretty much killed congressional Republicans' movement to have any kind of national abortion restriction. On Truth Social, Donald Trump birthed a new campaign statement on reproductive rights, celebrating the end of Roe right off the bat with some fear-mongering and political slander thrown in for good measure. Here's clip A1.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the 9th month. the concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth. And that's exactly what it is.
No, it's not.
The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth is unacceptable. And almost everyone agrees with that.
There is so much to break down in that mountain of horse caca you just listened to. Let's break it down. He began, by the way, can I just say Ozempic Trump? Not impressing me. He's kind of creepy looking. Kind of looking hollow there. Just pointed it out. So he began this thing talking about in vitro fertilization, which is the least divisive part of all of this. He didn't even mention abortion until he was like 25% through the speech. And when he finally talks about abortion, he began with a lie that even conservatives know is a lie. He said all legal scholars were demanding an end to Roe v. Wade. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion rights since I was proudly pissed for you just heard it. They wanted it ended. No, they didn't. The majority of the country didn't. And you know that. The Republicans don't care, but you do. And that's why you made this creepy Ozempic video. So today he outlined his position finally on abortion in this 4.5 minute video. Turns out it's exactly what he was running on in 2016. He's against a national ban and says it should be left to the states. This was interesting for so many reasons. He would not endorse a nationwide ban. Now, A, this shows that Trump is smarter than most Republicans. B, it shows Trump believes nothing. He knows how much the end of Roe v. Wade has hurt the Republican Party. He saw it slaughter them in the midterms. He saw it knock them out in special elections and elections in 2023. He wants to avoid this. He is terrified of the consequences of the thing he's bragging about. He's responsible for the Supreme Court taking rights away from American citizens. And believe me, the clip you just heard, Joe Biden will be making that a commercial by now. But see, Donald Trump can't escape his problem because he can't stop bragging about it. He can't stop bragging that he's the one who got rid of Roe v. Wade because he likes easy applause breaks from stadiums full of undemanding people he doesn't actually like to be around. He knows the right-wing stance on abortion is going to hurt him. It's going to hurt his ability to make these criminal charges go away. He knows the right-wing stance on abortion makes it harder for him to stay out of jail. And power is the only thing he cares about. He was a Democrat, remember? And he stopped to get more power. He pretends to be anti-abortion. Not because he's anti-abortion, he does it for power. He pretends to be Christian. Not because he believes in anything. He does it for power. Rubes lie to themselves about this, but the part that raised eyebrows and rankled a large portion of the anti-choice right is this part right here, where Trump asserts a state-by-state decision on abortion access is the right way for people to exercise their personal beliefs.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint.
No.
The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith.
Okay, we'll get to the religion part in a second because the Bible, not against abortion. But I want to take it back for a minute to the thing Trump said in the last clip. This whole lie that he tells about execution after birth. This batshit lie. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. He tells us all the time. He told us in 2020 that women give birth and the doctor and the mother wrap the baby in swaddling blankets and then kill it. Like, it's a stupid lie. It's an insane lie. And he keeps repeating it. And the media allows him to repeat it. He keeps repeating this lie and no one ever calls him out on it because the media lets him pretend he's a normal person. He is not. It is dangerous and it is insane. And I'm ready to say the media is worse than Trump. Not the journalists, the media. Journalists care about America. Media cares about ratings. Trump, good for ratings. You guys know how it works. He ended this little litany of nonsense by saying Democrats, Republicans, liberals, and conservatives have to come together to make America a better place, after calling Democrats and liberals literal baby murderers. He's in a tough spot. He's trying to have middle ground on the abortion debate, something realistic, but it's not what he achieved. Lying, I mean, no one supports executing babies after birth. I mean, the most pro-abortion, Liz Winstead, I'll bring her in here. She does not support executing babies. No one supports executing babies after birth, and it's not done. But again, all this is a dog whistle. This is him dog whistling to the anti-abortion people who are going to be mad at him. He knows they're going to be mad, so he's lying for their benefit. And in doing so, he is endangering the lives of doctors who provide abortion care for women. So the Republican response to this was kind of interesting, because Trump thinks that support for a nationwide abortion ban would cost him politically, and he's right. So he's running away from it. But it also proves to the anti-abortion base he never gave a shit about this. He doesn't care if abortions continue in other states. So Mike Pence, who is also a, I would say, more fraudulent Christian than Donald Trump, because Pence boasts of his piety all the time and fights for nothing Jesus and the Bible fights for. President Trump's retreat on the right to life is a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. By nominating and standing by the confirmation of conservative justices, the Trump-Pence administration, only Pence calls it the Trump-Pence administration, you should know that, helps send Roe v. Wade to the ash heap of history where it belongs, blah, 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 blah. Lindsey Graham flipped out. He said he respectfully disagreed with Trump's stance. He thinks he supports the 15-week ban. I mean, this is what the bill was that he put forth. And it's very rare to see Lindsey ever go up against Trump, because Lindsey is a barnacle who fastened himself to John McCain's dinghy. And when McCain's dinghy began to speak, Lindsey the barnacle fashioned himself to Trump's dinghy and has spent the last 6 years humiliating himself in obsequious servitude to a man who despises him. So Lindsey came out. And he said many good Republicans lost elections because of this issue. Oh, no, no. Lindsey came out and actually said he disagreed with Trump, and Trump let him have it. Trump actually said people like Lindsey Graham are unrelenting, handing Democrats their dream of the House, Senate, perhaps even the presidency. Donald Trump beating up Lindsey Graham again because Lindsey Graham expressed his own opinion. Matt Walsh, that guy, who I think is not well, he's now calling himself the Honorable Matt Walsh and shows this tragic kind of picture of himself dressed up as a judge with a gavel, like he's into some fetish. I don't know, but he wrote today to protest Trump, there is no such thing as abortion rights. Rights are God-given, and God does not give anyone the right, under any circumstances, to kill children. Can we talk about this, folks, for just a second? Lawrence Ross pointed out God literally killed the firstborn sons of Egypt. Here's the deal, Republicans. God does not give the government the power to force a woman or a child to be pregnant against their will by rapists. The Bible is not against abortion. Judaism is not against abortion. Jesus never mentions abortion. Abortions are legal and free in Israel right now. There is no penalty in the Bible for ending a pregnancy. God says a fetus is property and a woman's life has more value than a fetus to him. In Exodus 21, after he says, thou shalt not kill. God does not command incarceration for abortion. God does not command making poor women poorer. God gives abortion tips for unfaithful pregnant wives in Numbers chapter 5. God orders the slaughter of many children and unborn fetuses throughout the Bible. One time, God kills every unborn fetus on earth via drowning because he felt like it. Jesus does oppose the death penalty more than once. Donald Trump and his shitty fake Christian movement of MAGA reject the actual teachings of Jesus. They prioritize something the Bible never condemns or mentions. A lot of them supported it, by the way. Some Republicans did. Senator Steve Daines of Montana, who chairs the National Republican Senatorial Committee, he said Republicans do not support a federal ban on abortion. That's a lie. You'll be hearing from the Democrats to scare voters. 2 years ago, Steve Daines was one of the two original sponsors on Lindsey Graham's 15-week federal abortion ban bill. They can't stop lying. So right on cue, the Biden campaign released an ad with a Texas woman who almost died because she could not get an abortion after her miscarriage. The ad says, because Donald Trump killed Roe v. Wade, Amanda was denied standard medical care to prevent infection and abortion. So Trump tried to have it both ways. He knew he would outrage the evangelical supporters he can't stand, but he needs. So he made one of his boldest statements yet about abortion, declaring he boldly, proudly ended Roe v. Wade. He knew they'd be mad, so he opened with that. And in so doing, he handed the Biden White House the best political ad they're going to have all year. Democrats have already said they're going to put abortion measures on the ballot in many states. The Florida Supreme Court helped him with that just last week. Politico said of today's speech, he may have cauterized his political wound at the moment. He may have found what seems to be a politically palatable middle ground, but a close read of his remarks delivered today reveals he's resolved virtually nothing. You know how much I hate agreeing with Politico? They're right. He won zero new votes with this. He's going to keep most of his blind followers, most of his rabid evangelical hypocrite fake Christian base, but he only cares about power, and he's using Christians and their convictions to make himself more powerful and keep him out of jail, and he's scared that he'll lose votes and not get elected. But he can't stop bragging. He's the one who ended Roe v. Wade. Democrats have been helped every single time abortion rights have been on the ballot in the last 2 years. And Trump said nothing today to move the needle. People who care about abortion rights won't vote for him. All he did today was show the gap between the hardcore pro-life and his agenda, which was always to use the anti-abortion suckers so he could have power. In fairness, he did piss off the two groups he needs the most, the right wing, who want him to pass a national ban, and the independents, who don't want the states to ban abortion. Well done, Don. I close by saying, a smart Democratic billionaire, maybe Mike Bloomberg, a smart Democratic billionaire, would be wise to pump a few hundred million to the Right to Life Party in the 7 swing states for major advertising toward disaffected anti-abortion folk. Let them know there's an alternative to Donald Trump, a party that's truly pro-life. Why not? You can air it after all those Bobby Kennedy ads that are helping Trump. We want to know what you think. We're at 866-997-4748. We'll be right back with your calls and the great Max Burns. This is Progress After Dark.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
I'm John Fugelsang. Thank you so much for being here with us on SiriusXM Progress. Here's the deal. We are blessed right now to have the great Mr. Max Burns returning to our airwaves. Max is one of the smartest political players in the game. And Max Burns, of course, you've read his stuff in The Hill and Newsweek. And we are blessed to have him be one of the best guest hosts you could possibly hope for when I'm away. And you people are craving a real smart person to fill in, to balance out, you know, what I bring. Max's new piece, InTheHill.com, is all about Netanyahu and how the war has to end. But he's going to join us tonight to talk about Trump's abortion wars as well. Mr. Burns, it's a pleasure to have you back. Welcome to SiriusXM.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Very good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad. What did you think of the statement today? I don't really think Donald Trump moved the needle all that much. He got a lot of folks like us to talk about it, but at the end of the day, I think he pissed off a few of his base and he pissed off a few independents. That's about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting example of how the GOP has moved right even since the Dobbs decision in 2022, because this is essentially the same statement Donald Trump has been saying since 2022. There's not a whole lot of news in it.
That's right.
But it's angered a lot of Republicans on the far right who are now much more vocal in criticizing him than they were a couple of years ago. So it shows you, even as Donald Trump is paradoxically trying to moderate the party on this and steer them away from abortion, the party base is not going to let even him stop them from taking on this war on reproductive freedom.
Yeah, it's really true. It is interesting how you've got some folks like Lindsey Graham on this side who are coming after him, Matt Walsh, Mike Pence. But a lot of Republicans actually fell in line behind it. And even Steve Daines, who co-sponsored Lindsey Graham's 15-week abortion ban 2 years ago, came out and said the Republican Party does not support a national abortion ban. I mean, it's amazing seeing how many of them are loyal to the issue and how many of them are loyal to Trump.
I mean, you ask a Republican, 12 Republicans, the official GOP position on abortion, you're going to get 12 different answers. I mean, you've got places like North Dakota that has a ban, but has an exception for rape and incest. And then just below it in South Dakota, you have a ban with no exceptions. You've got a 6-week plan in Florida. You've got 20 weeks in some other states. You've got people proposing national bans, IVF bans. It's really a mess. And you can tell that Republicans, at least the ones who see what this has done to their party, really want to talk about anything except abortion, because it exposes how out of touch they've become with the actual voter, even the actual Republican voter.
This, Max, is an example of how Donald Trump gets it. And he reads the tea leaves much better than the base of his party. He knows what a loser this is. And it shows that he cares about power more than he cares about, you know, protecting all them innocent babies.
No, that's absolutely right. And people have said, well, this is proof that Donald Trump isn't the idiot we thought he was. No, he's still stupid.
Yeah.
He has no sense of the rules of governing or anything like that. What he does know is what does and doesn't sell. And he can clearly read a poll as well as anybody, even if he then goes on Truth Social and says it was fake. And he sees this as a disaster for Republicans because it has been. There hasn't been a single state where abortion's been on the ballot where it's lost. And now in places like Ruby Red Missouri, which Trump has to win, a majority of voters now want more abortion protection.
That's
and they're
right.
willing to put it on the ballot.
That's right. I mean, Florida as well. That's the worst thing that could have happened, Max. The Florida Supreme Court splitting the difference and letting DeSantis have his 15-week, soon to be a 6-week ban, while also putting it on the ballot. That's the best news Democrats have had all month, because, of course, this means even if Democrats can't win in Florida, it's going to substantially drive up turnout. You've got abortion rights and legal weed on the ballot in Florida. The GOP is going to have to spend a lot of money defending a state that they thought was safe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, these ballot measures are killing the Republican Party in terms of how many people they bring out. Not just Democrats, though it's a huge driver of Democratic voters, but also Republicans. We now see by some polls in Florida, about a third of identified Republicans say that they think this goes too far, that they want abortion protections, or at least for abortion to be mostly legal. We saw just this week a new poll that shows a record number of Americans across parties think abortion should be legal and accessible. And they vote that way.
That's right.
And this drives down enthusiasm in Republican circles, and it drives up enthusiasm on the left. It's a double whammy of terrible news for the GOP.
And I'll confess, Max, for years, I naively thought that was why the Republicans would never actually do it. You know, like, the Republicans are never going to end illegal immigration, because their donors demand the low-wage workforce. So with illegal immigration, they let them come across the border. They let them work in our agricultural and meat processing plants, and they sell the racism back, and it works. The hypocrisy works for them. With abortion, I will admit, and I got a lot of heat for it. I said for years, as long as politicians have mistresses, abortion will remain legal. But when Mitch McConnell killed Merrick Garland's Supreme Court nomination, that was the first time I realized, oh my God, these Republicans really are that stupid. And Max, they really were. They could have kept abortion like illegal immigration and used it as a cash cow and as a vote getter for years. Now they're dealing with what the dog deals with when it finally catches the truck.
Yeah. I mean, this is textbook what it means when a party becomes illiberal. when it stops caring about what actual voters want and starts pursuing what one person, in this case, Donald Trump, wants, is they will follow Donald Trump and they will follow the far right, which is now outpacing him, right off the political cliff. Because in many cases, a lot of these lawmakers have gerrymandered themselves into districts where they're completely safe. A lot of these red states have suppressed the vote in a way that they'll have no serious Democratic competition. And when that kind of all Republican, all the time mindset percolates up to the national level, you see this extremism, and then you see voters finally get a chance to reject it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Max, we got to give Donald Trump some credit. We've all learned a lot since he got into politics. I learned what hydroxychloroquine was. I learned what a special master was. I learned what ivermectin was. I mean, we've of course learned the effects of decades of untreated syphilis by watching him. But one thing we've learned in recent months is these three magic words, the Comstock Act. And it turns out that the Comstock Act is, of course, what Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas are invoking in their oral arguments to challenge the availability of mifepristone, this old 1873 law that prohibits the mailing of any lewd materials. And they've decided that means not Viagra, but mifepristone. And they're working towards a reality where the government goes through your mail to see if you're getting contraband abortion pills, which are safer than pregnancy and safer than childbirth. So I go through all of this because Donald Trump hasn't publicly weighed in on Comstock, and he's been asked about it, and the campaign is not responding to any requests for comments about it. Because if Donald Trump says he doesn't want a national abortion ban, but he doesn't speak out against using the Comstock Act to help ban mifepristone, I mean, these are the questions every Republican needs to be asked, right? Like, how specific are you? Because to me, and I'm sorry this is such a long-winded question, Max, but for him to come out and say only it should go to the states, but he's not going to say whether he'd use his executive power to shut down abortion access to the pills, it's another skeevy dodge.
It is. I mean, and I think whether Donald Trump says anything or not about the Comstock Act is a distinction without a difference. Because all of the senior aides that will make up his second administration have very strong and very clear feelings about enforcing the Comstock Act. When you look at Project 2025, which is the Heritage Foundation-authored transition plan for the new Trump presidency, it calls on Donald Trump unequivocally to use his executive authority under the Comstock Act to enforce a ban on not just mifepristone, but the mailing of any abortion-related pills, tools, or literature. I mean, it's a sweeping interpretation of the Comstock Act, larger than even Anthony Comstock himself meant it to be. This is something that all of the people who will be in positions of actual policy power in the Trump White House fully sign on to Project 2025, and with it, this idea that they can use this act to go through the mail and then to prosecute anyone who tries to send any pro-abortion communication.
And again, I want Democrats and the media to force this guy and every Republican seeking office to come down on this and where they definitively stand. I know they don't mean it. They'll all flip-flop as soon as they have to for convenience sake. I just want to see them give their opinion on it this year before the election.
And they need to be pushed on this because, I mean, none of this is secret. You know, you can go to project2025.org, read the policy document, where they explicitly say that it is the obligation of a conservative president to invoke the Comstock Act as a way to ban abortion nationally. And the reason they want to do it that way is because then the House and the Senate avoid a publicly controversial, explosive vote to ban abortion. And they can say, well, we don't agree with that, and give them political cover. Well, in the end, the result is the same. Abortion would be effectively banned nationally.
Mm-hmm.
If they did that.
We are at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. Mr. Burns, I'd love to ask you about the campaign and how it's shaken up. We've seen some more primaries, and we keep seeing 10, 15, even 20% sometimes of Republican voters showing up to vote in a primary and casting a ballot for someone other than Donald Trump. If this kept happening to Joe Biden, it would be front page news everywhere. We've discussed how our media doesn't cover this at all, but you had a great tweet. If this trend holds, and roughly 20% of GOP voters refused to cast a ballot for Trump in November, that fact alone would likely doom his candidacy in the six key swing states. Polls have repeatedly shown about 20 to 25% of Republicans say they will never again vote for Trump. I think you're right. And I think if he gets a conviction, let's not forget, folks, trial number one starts 1 week from today. It's going to be even harder for him, don't you think?
I really do. I think there's a portion, and there's really two different groups. There's people who are voting for other candidates in the primary, and they'll probably come back to Donald Trump when this is over, because there's still Trump Republicans in the end. And then there's another group, about 20 to 25% of voters, who tell pollsters in the exit polls that they will never vote for Donald Trump under any circumstances. And if he is the general election Republican nominee, they simply will not vote for president, or they will not vote at all. So that's not just terrible for Trump, because in some of these states, he's leading by 1 or 2 points, doom those states completely. But it would also drag every down ballot Republican down, because for each person who doesn't vote, their already narrow margins get even smaller.
That's right.
And if that holds, it is a historic wipeout for the Republican Party.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've heard, Max, an incredibly huge amount of Black people and Gen Zers are really crazy to vote for Trump. The media keeps telling us this.
I genuinely don't know where this story has come from. As far as I've researched it, this entire narrative has come from one poll that was financed by the Robert F. Kennedy for President campaign. So, and I don't understand, except that it was a slow news day, why so many outlets are now treating this as if this is a race where Republicans are winning young people. They have not done that in 60 years. And there's no indication in any other poll that that's true.
It is really true.
It really drives me nuts.
And yet, ironically enough, we're looking at a situation where Joe Biden had a pretty good day. Apparently, he's made some progress with Netanyahu. We'll get to that in a minute. And his infrastructure bill, I mean, it's pumping $500 billion into projects around the country, and people are starting to notice. We're going to have a third Arizona plant to build semiconductors. It was just announced. And they're going to have a debt forgiveness plan helping over 30 million American borrowers just today. But what's also interesting is that baby boomers are now becoming seniors. And
yep.
Axios reported today, baby boomers could make Biden the first Democrat to carry the senior vote since Al Gore back in 2000. I mean, we think old voters, we automatically have always thought Republican. Now it's the hippies who are old, Max.
I don't think Joe Biden should be carrying anybody, not on those knees. Please don't do it. But no, you make a great point. And it's not just that. It's that entire demographics are starting to shift. We're seeing suburban Republican women are casting ballots for Democrats over abortion. We're seeing, as you mentioned, the transition from boomers into seniors going towards Democrats. It's a really interesting shift that I don't think is being accounted for. And also this job growth, not just in the numbers, but in what it does for voters' psychology.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, voters I've spoken to who did not have a job and were very pessimistic on Joe Biden, were considering not voting for him. Once they got a job, and many of them did in this last cycle, their opinion changed a lot. And that's understandable. And I think we underestimate that as well. That as more of these people get jobs, they're suddenly not going to feel so bad about Joe Biden anymore.
I hope so. And as they see repairs happening in their community, and as they hopefully can read the economic reports to see that America is recovering from inflation and COVID better than any of our capitalist allies. But are you at all concerned that Biden's got the same problem Obama had in his first term? That is to say, a recovery that looks good on paper, but a lot of Americans aren't seeing the results in real time yet.
Well, I think the good thing about this recovery is that it seems really broad based. It's not only geographically really spread out, but you see it across demographic groups, young people, middle-aged people, African-Americans, women, first-time job holders are reaching record highs. So it seems like this is spread very evenly. That's not so much what I'm worried about. I'm worried that the Democratic Party doesn't seem to know how to sell this story to the people.
Yeah.
Because the messaging, where there's been any at all, has been very numbers and data-based. And
yep,
you have to tell the human story with something like this.
Donald Trump is still effectively selling the narrative that somehow the Obama recovery that he continued and took credit for was his doing. And more people believe that than believe the truth that Biden turned around the Trump economy.
I think that just makes my nose bleed to think
but
about.
But it's true.
But it does
awful.
Show you that this messaging gap, this idea that Democrats have tended to not want to say something loud unless they know it's right. And that leads us to wait and wait. And by the time this is ready to go, people have forgotten already. We need to take a lesson here, I think not from Republicans, but from someone like Bill Clinton, who understood that humanizing the message means you don't have to analyze so much data. You can take these number stories and tell them through people who yeah. have jobs now, who can support their families, who have insurance again. And they are the recovery story, not the numbers.
Max, I want to ask you about your newest piece in The Hill, where you say the war in Gaza has weakened democracy in Israel and unleashed an unspeakable humanitarian nightmare. It must end. Your whole piece is about why being a true supporter of Israel means protecting Israel's fragile democracy from collapse. What kind of feedback have you gotten so far?
I've actually been very surprised at how positive the feedback has been. I mean, on this is an issue where I have evolved. I'm a strong supporter of Israel. I was a supporter of this war when it began, as I think many people were.
Sure.
But as we've seen this progress, not just with the World Central Kitchen humanitarian deaths, but the daily string of mishaps, misfires, and atrocities, anyone who feels anything, not just emotionally, but about the strategy of stabilizing that region, has to see that this has become completely counterproductive. And it seems now, I was lucky because a day after I wrote this, President Biden very publicly criticized Netanyahu and effectively conditioned future support on improving their record on human rights. So it does seem like we've reached this breakwater moment in this conflict where there have been so many errors and so much unapologetic doubling down on the Israeli side that it's even started to sour the almost unimpeachable political support here in America.
To say nothing of the protests against Netanyahu in Israel, which a year ago was confined to leftists and young people. Now it's every strata of Israeli society. I will confess that I've been kind of cynical about it. And I thought what we were hearing from the White House was a lot of thoughts and prayers, a lot of words, a lot of different angry words. Today we leak that the president was outraged. Today we leak the president was pissed. Today we leak that the president was furious. No actual results. But then the IDF ended their ground invasion. I mean, they've almost totally withdrawn from southern Gaza. And as you said, this is evidence. All it took was some moral courage from Joe Biden to bring a speedy end to the Gaza war.
And that is, in the end, what leadership is. I mean, we can strategize and talk to generals and send Antony Blinken over there. But unless the president of the United States himself is willing to stand up and say, this war is being prosecuted in a way that jeopardizes Israeli democracy the way that he did, nothing was going to change. And we see that having said that, and most likely having said a lot of other things to Netanyahu privately on these calls, Israel was very quick to respond, which shows you that they are still aware of when they have overstepped, but they're not going to step back unless the United States steps up.
Yeah. But Max, if Joe Biden helps bring a ceasefire and the media doesn't acknowledge it, did it really happen?
I think that's the really shameful thing is now that we've seen this story and about the IDF withdrawing from Gaza and eventually, I think, entirely ending this operation, the media has suddenly found other things to talk about. And that's where I think it's one thing to just talk about the atrocities of this war, which need to be publicized. But we should also be willing to applaud when things go right, not just when the president has a successful diplomatic victory, but when Israel does something that is in the interest of security for themselves and the region. And this was a good thing. I'm surprised how little coverage it's gotten anywhere.
I'm not. I'm not. I think the media misses their Trump ratings, and that's how it is evolving. Mr. Burns, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. I know that you're working on a new hour-long campaign 2024 special for Progress. Will you come and join us when the special's ready to promote it?
Absolutely. I am really excited. I'd love to chat with you about it.
Great. I've got to talk to you about Bobby Kennedy as well, because you want to talk a mojo, reaching out to the young people. Oh, boy. Bobby Kennedy. Junior, there's the campaign. Just don't ask about his last wife. Max, how could our listeners follow you and keep up with all your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at TheMaxBurns and on Substack at maxburns.substack.com.
You are the best, sir. Thank you for joining us. Quick break. We'll be right back with your calls in just a moment. This is Progress.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is SiriusXM Progress. We're so glad to have you with us. We'll be joined later this hour by the great Rhonda Hansom. Let's get to some of your calls first. Doug in San Diego, thank you so much for waiting on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, John. Great show as usual.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I don't know if everybody or anybody listening also heard about what the Vatican did today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, the only comment I wanted to make was I think it's very rich that an organization who was just engulfed in a complete and utter disgraceful scandal tried to cover it up as, you know, they're the groomers, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so they're sitting there saying that trans people are something new with human dignity. Are you kidding me?
Well, let's fill the kids in. Let's fill the kids in, because what happened today, the Vatican put out Pope Francis put out a new letter today called Dignitas Infinita, Infinite Dignity. And he condemned a lot of things in it. But the thing that got the most attention was gender theory. You know, he condemned abortion again. He condemned the death penalty. Conservatives didn't talk about that. He condemned human trafficking. He condemned euthanasia. He condemned societies that allow poverty. None of that stuff made the news here. But then he also condemned surrogacy. He's really not a fan of that. But he came out against transgender people again. This is a guy who talks about not judging, right? This is a guy who talks about forgiveness. We like this Pope because he's the one who came out and talked about the gays and said, who am I to judge? And I thought he'd do better. I keep thinking this church, he comes out too much and is too loving and too much like Jesus. And then he's got to retreat a bit and say some cruel things to try to keep the conservative Catholics happy. That's sort of what I thought this papal letter was today. It's a document that has plenty of stuff for the left, plenty of stuff for the right. But I it's really sad.
Well, the thing is, I think it was if you step back and look at the big picture, I think this could have been a political Hail Mary, no pun intended, to get people to stop leaving the Catholic Church. Because if you search the shrinkage of the Catholic Church over the last 10 years, 20 years.
I know.
It's up to 50 million people. And so I think this could have been something that maybe
You want to save the Catholic Church, Doug? You ordain women priests. Well, no, I'd like to save it. I think there's enough good stuff in the Catholic Church. They're the greatest force in the world against the death penalty. They're the biggest force in the world against poverty. But allow priests to get married like Jesus did. The first Pope, St. Peter, was married for 1,000 years. Priests and popes could marry. The celibacy shit was just greed. They didn't want priests leaving wealth to their kids. For 1,000 years, the conservative point of view is married priests. Let women serve as priests. It's embarrassing, this no knob, no job law. I mean, God made 51% of humankind unfit to be priests because why? Because they're women? It's vulgar. You want to save the church? Drop the sex hang-ups. Drop the hang-ups on anti-gay. That doesn't come from Jesus. Drop the hang-ups on birth control. That's not in the Bible at all. Like, it's all man-made cult shit to keep their numbers high and the women controlled. Drop that shit and go out there and fight for the least of us and protest injustice and celebrate love and forgiveness. you'll turn some nice people on, but they're becoming more and more a mean little cult. And as you pointed out so ably, when you've got this kind of record of child rape and the covering up of child rape, you don't really get to go after anybody else's sexuality for a good long while.
Preach.
Yeah.
I love it when you do that, John. So
well,
keep it up. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. You're a gentleman, Doug. I have no idea why you listen to this show. I do want to point out that the Vatican did call in this document. They did say that all LGBTQ people have to be protected from violence and imprisonment around the world. They did say that. So I'll give him credit. And it wasn't just coming out to beat up on the trans people. He came out against all kinds of stuff. Came out against nations allowing poverty. That should be the lead story, but no one's going to cover that. He came out against the death penalty. No one's going to cover that. But yeah, the trans. But again, they asked Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House about this, and she split it down the middle pretty well. She didn't say what Biden thought of the document. She said, we're glad that, you know, they're protecting people from violence around the world, but the president will continue to be an advocate for the rights, safety, and dignity of the LGBTQ community, including transgender people here in the U.S. So I will say today, I think Joe Biden is a lot more Christian than the Pope.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I wanted to say, John.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you. Have a great evening. I will point out that it's St. Paul, Jesus's conservative PR guy. The ones the conservatives like to quote, because the conservatives will never quote Jesus. They quote Paul all the time. Remember, it's St. Paul in his letter to Galatians, where he says, there is neither male nor female in Christ. Most conservative guy in the New Testament. And he's all about the non-binary. 866-997-4748 is our number. Let me go to Richard in Missouri. Hey, Richard, thanks for your waiting on hold. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, John. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just a couple things. One is that I really like that song, I Ain't Got No Home, as well as you did. However, I want to be sure you knew that was Rush Limbaugh's theme song for a number of years.
Yeah. It was his Homeless Update jingle, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, what a filthy, awful man.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
As if being homeless wasn't punishment enough.
But again, think about the people who listen to the Rush Limbaugh show. And I don't mean people like my dad who would put it on occasionally just to yell at the radio because that's how he got his heart rate up. I mean, think about people that listen every day where he literally has a whole segment devoted to making fun of homeless people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was amazing. Well, and then some more information that's a little bit more pleasant is
Please.
We recently had local elections here.
Yeah.
And in eastern Missouri, there were 10 school board races that had MAGA candidates and normal candidates, and all the MAGAs lost.
Whoa. San Diego? No. Or Missouri? You're Missouri, right?
It's St. Louis area. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Missouri.
Okay. Yeah. So it's probably half and half where you are, right?
In terms of Republican and Democrat?
Yeah. I find your state fascinating because, I mean, I guess most states, rural is more red and cities are more blue, but how's the makeup
the
where
same.
You are? Yeah. About the
we're,
same?
We're the very same.
Yeah.
And we've become a red state, unfortunately. We used to not be.
But I know.
That's changed. But these recent elections are a cause for hope.
I think so. I think people are going to turn out in very big numbers, especially in the urban areas. And if there's a ceasefire and this horrible destruction is a bit more in the rearview mirror by November, it's going to be great. But again, it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down to as many people as possible turning out to vote. And
true.
I think we've got to keep phrasing it as it's not about voting for Biden. It's voting against Trumpism.
Yep.
Right on.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your
you
call. Thank you. 866-997-4748. Rich, also in St. Louis. Welcome. You're on Progress.
Yeah, you just spoke to a friend of mine.
No way. I love
yeah.
that.
Well, I wanted to say that your earlier caller, Tim, from St. Louis, we're in the same traffic jam. I've been on Interstate 45. Interstate 55 for about 4 or 5 hours now.
Okay, was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It really was. This is the second one I've witnessed in about 6 years. So wow. It's the earlier one.
You saw the one in 2017? I think that was the last one, right? Wow.
Yeah. And it was in roughly the same area. So, you know, that it passed through, and it was awesome. I can't really describe it, but when you look up at the sky and you see the sun just blacked out, it's just almost frightening. It's something you've never seen before.
It's like a holy moment. I mean, today was the first time I've ever seen a 90% eclipse, and my wife thought I was like quaint, but I couldn't believe she's seen the real thing before. I never have, and I couldn't stop. I was overwhelmed by how incredible it was. I want to see the real thing now. I'm going to be one of those lunatics like you who gets in a car and stays in traffic for 10 hours to see one.
Well, it was very cool, and we were very lucky because there was some cloud cover that was drifting towards it, but we got to see the whole thing, and, you know, unobstructed. So,
can I ask a question? I know it gets dark, but did it get cold as well? Because here in New York, it got really cold. The temperature really dropped when the light went.
Well, it started out, I guess, when it started out, it was about 75 degrees, and then it probably dropped a good 10 degrees.
Yeah.
So it wasn't cold, but it was, you know, it was noticeable.
Noticeable. Right on. Well, thank you so much. I hope, are you going to be stuck in traffic forever? Is it going to be a long night, or is it moving?
We probably won't get home until at least 10, and that's another local time. That's another probably 45 minutes for us. But there was a couple of things I wanted to mention to you.
Okay.
The one is I really like your description of the Comstock Act as, you know, how one-sided it is. You know, they only, would try to ban birth control.
That's right.
And
not Viagra.
Not Viagra.
Not porn either, by the way. It's about lewd materials. They're not trying to ban porn in the Supreme Court, but boy, Thomas and Alito really want the government to go through your mail. And this is something else that Democrats need to be talking about.
But the Comstock Act itself is sort of an oxymoron because it's basically a Republican wet dream. You
know? Yeah. Of course. The whole thing is against the very nature of the American experience. It's against the First Amendment. And as we always discuss, who is to decide what lewd means?
Yeah, exactly. The thing that that I always go to when people talk about this is, you know, if the Republicans have their way, they will create the bedroom police. And when that happens, you're going to have to lock up your grandmother's knitting needles and wire coat hangers.
So do you think Trump did the smart thing today by coming out against any kind of national ban? I mean, I think it's smart in the long term, but I don't know if it's going to help him at this point.
Well, I don't know whether it'll help him or not, because it's not going to turn off any of his followers. But
there are people right now who are. I was looking on Twitter all day. I mean, there's a lot of Republicans who are falling into line because they can read the tea leaves. But there's a lot of true believers who think that they've been betrayed by Donald Trump because they thought he really was against abortion. And it turns out he's fine with innocent babies being slaughtered by those evil liberals in so many of those blue states. I mean, they're mad at him today. Yeah, they've it's like, oh, you idiots finally realized he doesn't believe in anything you care about.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to tell you is that I think I'm really enjoying the demise of his media platform.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I call it by what I consider to be the proper name for it. I don't call it True Social. I call it True Sociopath.
Nice. I call it Filth Social, but I like yours too.
That's all I had.
Right on. Well, thank you, Rich. Don't be a stranger. Get home safe and tell your buddy who called before that you guys were back-to-back on the show. I love that.
Yeah, he's about 3 or 4 counties over from where I'm at right now.
Nice.
And, probably stuck in traffic.
He may be stuck in traffic, but he was camping on the Ozark Scenic Riverway.
Right on. Well, get home safe, okay? Keep your eyes on the road now.
My wife's driving.
Oh, okay. Well, keep your eyes on the road and keep your hands to yourself and let that woman do her work, please.
One last thing. thing. Are you going to be at the Kansas City?
Yes, we are. We're coming to Kansas City for the first time ever on the tour. And it's the first time I've played Kansas City in like 9 years. So I'm thrilled to be coming back and thrilled to be bringing Stephanie and Hal and Frangela there for the first time. That show is going to be a party. I can't wait.
My wife got me tickets for my birthday because it's right around the same time.
Dude, you got a woman that loves you. You hang on to that one. You hang on to her.
You know it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Hey, we are at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. I want to bring on Rhonda, but let's take a break, I guess, and we'll come back and welcome the great lady to our airwaves and you guys as well. Don't go away.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm John Fugelsang. This is SiriusXM Progress. We are at 866-997-4748. Rhonda Hansom is one of my favorite stand-up comedians. I've been a fan of her since I first did my beginning of open mic career. She's a great writer and director and actor. She's opened for Anita Baker and Diana Ross and Aretha Franklin. She does great solo shows. We are honored and blessed to have the great lady join us every Monday night for Tall, Dark, and Handsome Mondays. Miss Rhonda Hansom, if you're nasty, welcome back.
I'm black, y'all.
Indeed. How are you, Queen?
I am wonderful, John. I'm so excited because I'm in that documentary, I Be Done Been Was Is, which is a film about black women comedians. And I'm featured in it with the great Marsha Warfield. And it's going to be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music screening at the BAM Rose Cinemas on the 24th of April. So I'm really looking forward to that. It was done in the, I guess, the 80s. And the director, Deborah Robinson, has two films being shown that evening. One is Kiss Grandma Goodbye, and the other is I Be Done Been Was Is.
Wow. So this is it's about black women comics in the 80s?
Yeah. And it features me, Marsha Warfield, Jane Galvin Lewis, and Alice Arthur. And Alice Arthur was actually the person that I saw who inspired me to do comedy. And Jane Galvin Lewis did characters, and a statement from one of her characters became the title of the movie, which has been shortened to IB. But the title comes from Jane's pastor
Very
character.
Very nice. Well, let me know how I can see this. I'm strapped to a radio show every night, but I'd love to see the film and see your work, Miss Hansom. I'm a big fan of your early work in the 80s. I've been on YouTube.
It really was a high time for me. And I'm so glad that Deborah Robinson, the director, got the funds for restoring her work. You know, these women directors really need that kind of recognition and that kind of support and resources, to work on their projects. So I'm looking forward to the 24th at BAM in Brooklyn.
Oh, brilliant. Congrats, Rhonda. I can't wait. I look forward to seeing the movie. So listen, I don't know if you heard, but people are all agog over Donald Trump's announcement today that he does not support any kind of national ban on abortion.
I thought he did support a ban.
Oh, no. As of now, he says, let the states decide individually. He doesn't support a 6 or a 15 or a 20-week ban anymore. He was hinting he supported the 20-week ban last month, but now today he says none. I think politically it's very smart. He's one of the few in the Republican Party who knows this is a loser issue for them, but it seems like it's going to be a little bit too little too late.
But John, I could be wrong, but it feels like he's tap dancing back something that he had already said he was in favor of. Didn't he want women to go to jail if they got abortions?
That was in 2015. He did. Yeah. Yeah.
That was
but only women. Only women should be punished, not the men. Yeah.
Well, I have some feelings on that. But it makes no sense. In those first couple of weeks, you know, even the woman herself doesn't know what's going on, you know, with her body. You know, she just could be, you know, on chocolate candy withdrawal or something and think she's pregnant.
No, it's true. 6 weeks. A lot of women don't even know they're pregnant by then.
It's true. It's true. And our cycles, you know, can be so erratic. And it is not something that men who really have no idea how complicated this could get should be, you know, making these really strict decisions about.
Oh, I know they shouldn't. And that is what that's why Republicans are going to probably be losing a lot of elections this year. But I want to go to Sean in Cali because he used the exact same expression as you, Trump's abortion tap dance. Sean, welcome. You're on with Rhonda.
Well, hey, Rhonda, I love you. You know, it is a tap dance, and I'm a guy. So, yeah, we're not really good on this issue, except my whole life, thank goodness for my mother. My mother said, you know, you have to respect every woman that you're ever going to be involved with. You know, I was playing baseball, and I was popular and having lots of girlfriends and all that, and she made sure I had my contraceptive.
Wow.
You know, my mom gave me rubbers, brother.
Wow.
Lots of them.
My parents would not be comfortable with the word contraceptives said in the house, so that's great.
So my mom, because
you're very fortunate. You are really so fortunate to have had someone in your life to give you that kind of advice and encouragement and information around relationships. This is something that I say, unfortunately, this is not regular conversation, family conversation,
it
needs to be. And you are so fortunate.
Oh, thank you so much. And my mom's 82, and I am still, thank goodness, I'm very happy she's here. But, you know, the thing is, here's the experience in life. My dad had 3 boys before the age of 21.
Woo!
Right?
Oh,
I'm 57.
Ooh.
I got to give the context. I'm 57, so it was a little bit different, but not except. But so, you know, he had to get a job and do that, and he did. I mean, he could have got a scholarship to a college to play football, but back then they did it. They was like, hey, you got her pregnant, you got to do the right thing. So, but nowadays, they're trying to force people to have birth. I mean, you know, my dad was in love with his, you know, the person he had the kids with.
Right.
And those are my 3 of my half brothers. You know,
Sean, how old was she? Also under 21 when she had 3 boys?
Oh, they were 16, dude.
Oof. Oh.
16. Yeah, she was young. And the thing about my dad that I do appreciate is that he did do the right thing after the fact. But the point is, no one forced her to have birth. The point is that nowadays, if there's any of those accidents that happen and the young lady, you know, doesn't want it to happen, she should have the right to do whatever the hell she wants.
Right.
Because the woman should be in charge of her choices.
Yeah.
And why are Republicans all up in the business? And Donald Trump is full of shit because he is the one who put those people on the Supreme Court. I know we lost elections.
Yeah.
I mean, we normal patriotic Americans, but he put those people on the court that were overturned Roe that would make forced birth happen.
That's right. I just want to say, listening to this conversation, Rhonda, my child just turned 12 and he's already taller than his mom, and he's going to be really a tall, handsome guy. I'm going to be putting condoms on him before he leaves the house. I will physically put a condom on his body before he leaves the house, this kid, because I want to be the kind of parent like Sean's mom. I'm going to make it all creepy and weird because I don't need to be a granddad next week.
Way to go. Way to go.
Well, Sean, I think you and Rhonda are both right in using the word tap dance. He is trying to please as many people as he can without alienating too many, because he knows how alienating this action was. But he can't keep his mouth shut. He can't, Rhonda.
He didn't have good parenting. That's what I'm trying
to
say.
No, he didn't have good
here.
Parenting, but also it's just that's the least of his problems. I mean, he came out and began it by bragging that he's the reason Roe v. Wade is no more. Biden's already made an ad out of that, and then says, but I don't support a national ban. I mean, who is this for? The right wingers are furious, and the independents are grossed out. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Not only did he stack the court that way, but they all, when they were interviewed, said that this was a non-issue, that it wasn't even going to come up for.
That's it. That's it. Sean.
And they all lied. They all lied.
Sean, thank you for the call. I totally agree with where you're coming from. I want to get some other takes on this. Mistress Clarissa is joining us from Colorado. Mistress, welcome. You're on Sirius XM.
Good morning. I thought I'd call you every 2 years.
Hi.
Hi. I called about a year and a half ago.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, so I wanted to mention that a lot of the things that we're seeing, the abortion bans, the religious right, the conservative Jack to 11,
mm-hmm.
a good portion of that is coming from their fetishes and their sadism.
Mm-hmm.
Sadism kind of points into a direction that it's not safe, sane, informed, enthusiastic consent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have a problem with, is the informed, enthusiastic consent, because part of their fetish is sadism. It's that control without consent. It's the desire for pain. And then you have...
I think it's for power. I don't know if it's sadist. I think it's just for power, and they're indifferent if it's painful or not. They just want the power. And if it happens to, I mean, they have no empathy, but I don't think they're necessarily all sadistic and take pleasure in the pain. I just think they have a complete indifference to any pain caused by their desire to control all women.
Sure. A lot of them, it is for power and for money, but there is a contingent there that is based in fetish. Like when we talked a few years ago, I mentioned that I do not see conservatives. I don't want to say Republicans, because
I know.
The Republicans a few decades ago, before they went absolutely insane under what's his face, the guy who was cheating on his wife, who was dying of cancer while going after.
That's either Gingrich or John Edwards. I'm guessing Gingrich.
Gingrich.
Yes.
So he really
knew
it. I'm vintage myself. I just turned 50.
No problem.
So I have a long memory. So, like, for him, if we want to start with him, he's a sadist and a top, if you will, but he enjoys getting, he likes humiliation, like humiliating others, where you look at some of the people here, they have a humiliation fetish, not giving it so much as getting it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was speaker who was removed.
Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, thank you. So he, after the 6th, and he went on and about how horrible it is, he's done with Trump, etc. He goes back, kisses the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at him as a switch.
You got to call up every night with talk like this, lady.
But here's the other thing. He enjoys the humiliation.
Yes.
That his penis is rock hard from that.
Well, don't give him that much credit, lady. Don't give him that much credit. I think Trump truly...
Listen, it all.
I do think Trump is a sadist. And I do think that Trump gets off on hazing people. I think having power to humiliate others is a great source of malicious pleasure for Donald Trump.
And he excels at that live trolling of people and creating those nicknames that are so humiliating.
He gets off on hurting people. He likes to hurt people. Yes. That's his thing.
But there's a huge contingent of that wing, especially within the religious movement, the right wing. That is part of their fetish, is this. And we will not talk about it because we don't have the language for it, because this is my world is not the majority of the world for everyone else.
That's right. You got
so
it.
I feel like people such as myself, like if you were to go off and troll around FetLife, which you can find me as Mistress Clarissa, by the way. You can also find me on as M. Clarissa, but I'm now just like, I'm just trying to save dogs.
Seriously. Well, I got to say, Clarissa, you've explained it all for us, and I'm very grateful to you for it.
Oh, thank you so much for that reference. We're both feeling
I bet you never get that one at all. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And how nice to have someone use actual fetish talk on this show. You make me feel alive again. Take care, Clarissa.
Oh, live long and prosper.
Thank you. 866-997-4748. Rhonda, do you agree? I mean, is it about, like, I don't know if they actually hate women. I think they hate women that aren't obedient, but I don't know if all this is about hating women. I think that they just have a very lazy kind of sense of religion and think, okay, banning abortion, that's what Christianity is, so who cares how many people it hurts?
It's lazy. The hate is... It's not even so much hate. It's non-love. It's non-respect. Yeah. It's not really appreciating the woman's humanity. And I think they are overcompensating for their lack of self-esteem by trying to maintain control, John. It really is. It's a power. It is that power move that they have. And women are not, you know, is chained to the traditional roles, and they are trying to not only increase the population of white babies, but they are trying to get, I think, the women back under control.
I think you're right.
It's not that they hate them. They just don't love them. They're not serving. Women are not serving their purpose for them.
That's it. The natural use of woman, as St. Paul called it. Let me go to Fred in New York. Welcome, Fred. You're on Sirius XM with Rhonda and me. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I discovered you on the Daily Beans on People Sang Friday. I want to say you're the answer to my prayers. Because you've got all the stuff we need to throw back at the hypocrites. You should be selling your own Bible with red letters for all of the stuff from Exodus to Paul.
Oh, if only you knew. I'm writing it right now, my friend. I don't sleep anymore. All I'm doing is working on a book and pretending I'm still a dad. That's it. So it'll be out next year, I promise. It's got a title and everything. And then they've begun paying me, so I have to finish it. The book is coming.
Good. I wanted to tell you my eclipse story.
Please.
Because I was in the path of totality, but it was cloudy. And what I did that made it really kind of neat, even though I couldn't see the corona and all that stuff, I found myself a hill in the middle of, like, upstate New York. Actually, I was in a graveyard, which is actually kind of nice, too, because you were sort of in touch with the eternal part of it.
Yeah.
And it was really neat because there was overcast everywhere, but you could see the darkness coming. You could see the darkness coming in the cloud. And so when it came over you, there was this, it was as if there was a disc covering all of the sky except like a sliver of the horizon that was still bright. And it was unbelievably.
That's what I had.
Just to be there. And just to see that little it's not the sun itself. It's the whole sky is dark. The whole sky is dark and cloud. But there's this line of light at the horizon all the way around. And all you have to do is be on a slight hill. Even if it's not cloudy, you'll have this experience. And it was just breathtaking. And it was kind of medieval too, because I heard the cock crowing. Because I was near a farm, and it was really great. so I just wanted to share that as a way of telling people that, you know, even if it's a cloudy day, go for the totality anyway.
Nice.
The traffic will be much better, too. I'm the first caller you've had who's not in the traffic jam.
Well, I mean, we had some clouds here in New York, and we only had 90%. But, I mean, Rhonda, I don't know if you saw it. 90% is more than I've ever seen of an eclipse. And my kid had to have the glasses for school today, so I sent away last minute to Amazon on Friday, and I got a whole bunch of pairs. And I was dazzled. I've never seen an eclipse before, and it was only 90%, but it's one of the most thrilling natural things I've ever experienced.
I was fascinated by watching the people who were watching the eclipse.
Me too. It was nice. It's like, oh, something that everyone can share delight in, that old people and young people and all races and ages and backgrounds, and so finally something that liberals and conservatives can both appreciate and enjoy and marvel at together. It just felt like a really, I don't know, I a lot of my cynical friends are all sick of all this eclipse hype. I thought it was lovely to see everybody enjoying something at the same time that was of nature and of science and wasn't putting anybody down.
Well, especially in a busy place like where we live in New York, people just paused. Stopped and looked up. But I didn't. I was looking at the people looking up.
Nice.
And it was kind of like, it was like the hand of God passing over and just sort of caressing our poor anxious world and saying, be still.
Yeah.
Be still and know that I'm God, you know?
Yeah, whatever God is, I'm a big fan of moments that are more or less what I call God's in charge moments. And, you know, for me, that's what it was. It was just like, wow, I totally. And the Navajo Nation, like they stay indoors. The Navajo Nation deliberately avoids eclipses and thinks it's a time to be inside and meditate and not stare at it, because that's how sacred it is for them. And I appreciate that take, too. But for me, it was really lovely to just marvel at something like this and to do it from Central Park. Just great. I give it a good review on Yelp, Rhonda. I give this eclipse a solid Amazon review. Fred, thank you for the call, man.
You bet. Keep it up.
Drive
and
safe.
Bring on that book.
I'm working on it. Believe me, Rhonda, you know, I get off of this show and I stay up. I'm trying to stay up till 3 every night writing. And, it's hard to impersonate a dad when I'm up that late, but I'm trying.
Now, what do you have coffee or something that keeps you awake, or you're just wound up from the show and you can work?
I've been drinking a lot of tea and sometimes coffee when I'm on the air and then when I get off. But, you know, my wife is, I'm revealing too much here, but my wife is kicking me out of the house and she's making me go out to L.A. like once a month so I can be alone for a week and not around people. And I went out to L.A. last month and I didn't rent a car. I just went out to L.A. just to be alone. And I did the show from, you know, our family place that I take care of when I'm out there. And it was amazing. Like, just not seeing anybody. I didn't bring a car. Didn't tell anybody I was in L.A. Didn't work out of the L.A. studios. Didn't go to see anyone. And just in L.A., I get off the air at 9 p.m. And then I can work on the book until, like, you know, midnight, which is 3 here.
Yes.
And I write better at night. But it's true. Like in New York, there's so much to do. There's so much noise. There's earthquakes. There's floods. There's bloody eclipses. And I have a kid. So it's been pretty nonstop. I've never tried to write a book. And it takes up some time. Did you know that? It takes up a lot of time.
Well, you are inspiring me. I have to get started with that.
Good.
I have to get a book out.
I know the feeling. Well, let me go to Bill in New Jersey. Bill, welcome, and thanks for your patience. You're on with Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. You know, Tom Hartman's written a few books.
Yes, he does. Tom Hartman's, he's a cyborg. Tom Hartman is always brilliant, always calm, always productive. He's a cyborg. I don't know how he does it.
Well, he actually gives out tips on how to write books sometimes on his show.
Oh, okay.
How he says he does it as if he's talking to somebody when he's writing it.
I've heard him say that, and he talks a lot about the importance of walking as part of your writing process, which I agree with him on. Mm-hmm. I think Tom is the smartest radio host in the world.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess people can accept the fact that the world is round now that they saw all this going on. I was wondering what happens if Trump is elected, and between being elected and January 20th, he goes to jail. What happens then?
Yeah, what indeed? What indeed?
Yeah, because that's a possibility. I mean, they're trying to put it off till after the election, but there's still time.
Well, I don't think he's going to go to. I don't think he's going to go to jail for the for the Manhattan DA's case, right? That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, and, but he's not going to be president either.
Let's hope not. But I think the best chance of him going to jail would be probably. I mean, they're going to delay the Georgia case as much as they can. It's possible Fani Willis will have a conviction there on a RICO count. But again, who knows if that'll involve, you know, sentencing to prison time. So it's way too early. I just fall back on my usual response, which is as long as he can't hire more judges, I don't care if he's in jail or not.
But if he's in jail, does that mean his VP is in charge then?
It would be a fascinating fucked up constitutional crisis, wouldn't it? Because Bobby Sands, you know, from the IRA, he was in jail and he ran to be a member of parliament from jail and was elected and served from prison. So, listen, if we could have a president serving while in jail, I'd fucking vote for Trump under those conditions just for the Oz reality show. Today, the president passes a law on abortion and gets shanked in the showers. I'll watch it.
Right. I have two important factoids you may not know about.
Tell me.
You know, under Trump, the Saudis bought the rest of the largest oil refinery in the United States.
That's correct.
In Port Arthur, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought out Shell. So they also, Saudis own gas stations and distribution points in Florida, Texas, and all over the place. So people are actually buying gas directly from them. And they're
is there actually any more American-owned property in the United States? I'm asking for a friend.
Yes, but it's not in the United States.
Right. And the other fact is that the January 6th Boys Choir, except for two of these prisoners, all the rest of them have been convicted for assaulting police.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Donald Trump wants to free them all. And then he'll go to a cop's funeral to say how much he cares about cops. And then he'll go in front of a Republican rally and say he wants to free everyone who tried to murder a cop on January 6th. And the media lets him get away with this. Bill, thank you very much for the call. And Miss Rhonda, it's so nice having you with us again.
I love it, John. Thank you. And your wonderful audience. I love them.
Well, thank you. Chris and Thea, thank you. What a great show we had tonight. I'm John Fugelsang. Keep it tuned to SiriusXM Progress. Peace.